Goeiemiddag van my, Alwin Maton, jy is ingeskakel op Kustel Radio SA en luister na Hoor, een program wat ek vir jou weeklik spring hier op die stasie vir die nuwe generasie. Ek gesels van tyd tot tyd met alle mense vanaf alle saamlope van die lewe. Hi there, my name is AJ Maton. You tune to your favorite internet radio station and listening to Hoor, a program that I bring you once a week right here on the station for the next generation. But nevertheless, yeah, this afternoon I have the opportunity of talking to one of the old boys in music from South Africa, lately residing in Las Vegas in the United States, man by the name of Zach Elan. But before I have the chat with Zach, here for you first, this one by him. It's called Flower Deep Inside.
I've never felt this way before, the day you arrived. I've never shared with someone else since the day you walked into my life. You're like a burning flame in me, and you're gonna set me free. So please don't close up all your doors, 'cause love has never felt like this before. You're like an angel in this life, you're everything I need tonight. You're like a flower deep inside. If I should call you on the phone and reveal my love to thee, I hope you'll never let it go. From a distance we shall see the secrets in our memories. Our hearts will meet again. If you will tell me not to go, my love for you will last forevermore. You're like an angel in this life, you're everything I need tonight. You're like a flower deep inside. You're like an angel in this life, you're everything I need tonight. You're like a flower deep inside. If I should call you on the phone and reveal my love to thee, I hope you'll never let it go. From a distance we shall see the secrets and our memories. Our hearts will beat again if you'll tell me not to go. My love for you will last forevermore. You're like an angel in this life, you're everything I need tonight. You're like a flower deep inside. You're like an angel in this life, you're everything I need. You're like a flower deep inside.
On the other side, I've got Zach Elan, man, maybe not so well known in South Africa these days, but he's very much well known in the States. And Zach is on the line from a cruise liner going towards Croatia. And Zach, yes, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on today.
Yes, yes, yes. I believe when a man like you goes on a cruise liner, you're not the type of guy that is in any way affected by seasickness or anything?
No, not at all. Not at all. I actually enjoy it very much.
It's like I said to you the other day when we were discussing having this interview. Like I said to you, I actually envy you. What I mean, it's not every muser that can say he's cruising down the Mediterranean, you know, and doing shows on a luxury cruise liner.
Yeah, well, I took on this job. It's a 6-month contract.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm living on this ship for 6 months, and I do what I love doing, which is singing and music. So it's really it's great.
Yeah, it's absolutely it's a bliss. Well, I mean, a mate of mine here in South Africa, Martin Van Tonder, he also is known as Martin V. He used to, in the old days when the guys had all these residencies with hotel groups like you know, Holiday Inns and all of that. He played South Africa everywhere. The first time I met him, I asked him, where have you played all, you know, Port Elizabeth, Joburg? And so he said, you must actually ask me where I haven't played. Because I believe in those days, Holiday Inn kept them busy. So how do you land up in a job like that, if I may ask?
Well, I've got an agent in Las Vegas where I live right now.
Yeah.
Which is my new home, Las Vegas. I've been there for 20 years. I've got an agent, and she came up to me and offered me this gig. She said, would you like to go to Europe for 6 months? And the money was too good to turn down.
Yeah.
And I took it. I took the contract.
Yeah, no, I can't blame you for it. But I mean, if somebody came, even today, with an opportunity like that, I doubt whether I'll say no, you know.
But there were buts, you know. I said to her I had to have my own room, because a lot of musicians that work on cruise liners, they share cabins, and they don't get the benefits that other people get, you know, like going upstairs to the swimming pool or mm-hmm. to the sauna or jacuzzi or whatever. I've got the full benefits, so I'm happy with it.
Yeah, you see, that sounds excellent. But Zach, let's start. I've never done an interview with you. I know our station manager, Martin Nell, he interviewed you a couple of times. But this afternoon, just to give some clarity to the listeners as well, Zach Eland, I believe, is South African born. You come from South Africa.
Yes, I am. From Pretoria originally.
Wow, Pretoria. Good grief. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, what a place. So you were born there, you grew up there, you went to school. Did you have the opportunity of going to the South African Defence Force for conscription?
No, I did not, no.
Oh,
but
good for you.
I wanted to very much. Mm-hmm. I actually went and auditioned for the military,
band.
For the musicians.
Mm-hmm.
And they accepted me, but then they never called me up. So I really don't know what happened.
Yeah, I would say, coming from me, if you can believe me, I think it was a blessing in disguise. It was one of the greatest things that could happen to you. I was there like for 2 years. I'm telling you, I still regard it as the biggest waste of time. You know,
Now,
some people might disagree with me. They're very proud of the National conscription days, but yeah, as far as I'm concerned, it wasn't a good thing. What happened after school? Did you go into the field of music, or did you first started working wherever you could get a job?
Yes. Well, I've been singing professionally since I was at the age of 16. Okay. I used to sing in restaurants and clubs, and so after school, I immediately got work at the, I auditioned for the SABC to go and sing on shows like Decade of Music, which featured Eugene Habencha.
Yes.
And Sing Country with Clive Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
So I got onto those TV shows, which were filmed in Margate, and Sing Country was filmed at the Zillertal in Pretoria.
Yeah.
So I was very fortunate to get onto those kinds of TV shows, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you were creating music as well. Were you writing from a very early age as well?
Yes, I've always been a songwriter. It's been, I mean, my first passion was to write music. And at the age of 22, I released my first album, which was fun.
always. And any band experience, were you ever like frontman of a band, or were you just doing your solo thing?
Yes, absolutely. I was a frontman for a band called No Way Out. We opened for Duran Duran when they came to visit South Africa, and Bryan Adams. That was in the early 90s.
Oh, in the
Bryan Adams performed in Sun City, so we opened for him as well. And we did the circuit around South Africa, which was great. A lot of great experience.
Band was called No Way Out.
Yes, No Way Out.
Yeah, and did you record any albums in those days as a band, or were you like also going the EP way or the singles, you know? Because lately I see nobody's really recording albums.
Yeah, we recorded a single called Out on the Road, which was played on Radio 5 and 702, which was back in those days. I don't know what it is today, if it's still well known, but it was on the radio.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. And for how long did you keep it going before you, because normally, you know, with bands, I always, you know, I'm a musician myself, not really anymore, but I was when I was younger. And I played with a couple of Oaks, you know. We had like bands and two pieces and stuff like that. But the thing is always like it starts off well. And then it gets to the point where people are like sort of falling over each other. And there's some egos coming into play and stuff like that. And it just breaks up. And sometimes it goes into a bit of a hiatus and it... Well, it's almost like I always say bands are a lot like marriage, you know. You can go like a little bit into hiatus, try again, but in the end of the day, the good old problems will still be back.
Absolutely, with the egos.
Oh, yeah.
There were five of us in the band.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's very difficult to have five people all creating together at the same time, because everyone has different tastes in music.
Yes.
And you have to deal with the egos. And the band lasted for 4 years.
Yeah.
And then that's when I decided we couldn't get a record deal back in the day, because the country was changing.
Yeah.
This was now back in 1994.
Yeah, yeah.
Things were very uncertain at the country in South Africa. So I decided, we couldn't find a record deal with anyone. Nobody wanted to sign us.
Yes.
So I decided, well, then I have to go international and try and get a deal international. So yeah. I moved to England.
Okay.
Arrived in England, I recorded an album with a producer. His name is Ian Catt.
Mm-hmm.
He produced Kylie Minogue. I'm sure you know Kylie Minogue.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so he produced my album, and it was released in Southeast Asia, in South Korea, and in the Philippines, mainly in Southeast Asia. I don't know why, but that's how things fell into place.
So yeah, it's actually funny now that you're talking like that. If you look at our band, like Michael Learns to Rock, basically also started in some of these Asian countries. They were there popular,
yes,
like hell for years before their music even reached the shores of South Africa.
Yeah, that's right, absolutely. Yeah. And they're a great band. I've seen them live.
They visited South Africa a couple of times in the mid 90s, I would say. The last time, I think they were in Port Elizabeth in 1996, 1997. They played at the Varsity at which is now called Nelson Mandela University, but in those days it was called UPE or something, University of Port Elizabeth. They played there, and they've got like a small, like a sort of a a stadium, like a sort of a stadium, like, you know, for the sports, like the sports academy. Not a big crowd, like about 10,000 people. You could fit about 10,000 in there, I think. And they played there. And what was amazing is when you speak to these guys, they can hardly speak a word of English, but they speak, they sing the perfect English.
So, yeah, because of their accents, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, Zach, you're a recording artist, what I mean, besides doing still live gigs, hanging out on cruise liners and all of that. You recently sent me four new tracks. Tell us something about the tracks, and then I want you to choose one that I want to play. But the thing is, these ones, I believe, were quite recent recordings.
Yes, these are recordings which I did in during COVID, which was about 2 or 3 years ago.
Yes.
And I came to South Africa to record these tracks with producer Marius Brouwer, who's a very well-known producer in South Africa.
Yeah.
And we used the symphony orchestra on two songs, like A Dream Is There and Flower Deep Inside.
Yeah.
We used the Philharmonic Orchestra to come in and record on those two songs. So we decided to do an EP.
Uh-huh.
Four songs is good enough. And if any of the songs are going to take off on radio and social media, mm-hmm. I'll come back and finish an album, I believe.
Oh, okay. So you've got that in your sights. Tell me something. When you say you had the Philharmonic Orchestra, was it the full orchestra, or were it like just like central members, like a violinist and maybe a cello and a whatever?
No. We had 10 violinists, and included three cellists.
Yeah,
which came to the studio and did a great job.
Yeah. So he's got.
And I mean, you can hear it. You can hear it in the recordings. How epic it sounds.
Yes. Look, I must. I think I sent you a short mail just to say, "A Dream Is There" is actually my favorite of these tracks, because just one of those tracks that actually takes you by the guts, pull it out a little bit. You know, it's one of those songs that make you feel or experience maybe. Through previous experience or previous learning or something like that, you know, for some or other.
Can you are you referring to A Dream Is There?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that song was inspired by, I went to a convention for inspirational speakers, you know, where they come and they do like inspirational talks with the audience. And I was invited to one of those. And when I left and I came back home, I just said, you know, I've got to grab my guitar and write an inspirational song. And it came to me within 15 minutes. I wrote the whole song in 15 minutes.
This one is going to start playing on Coastal Radio as of tomorrow. But let's listen to the song quickly, and then we're back in the words.
Sure.
This one by Zach Hillen this afternoon. It's one of his new songs. So like you heard, he recorded it during COVID-19. In time, it's maybe a little bit older, but it is brand new. This one, A Dream Is There.
This is the day. I'll give my life away to you. This is the way. The only thing that's left to do. And all I can think of is to win, not to lose. I've waited for so long. It's the path. I must choose. A dream is there, I can feel it in the air, reaching out towards the stars and new horizons. A dream is there, the day. A wise man came to me and said, look the other way. And live your destiny instead. Gonna think of is to win, not to lose. You have waited for so long, it's the path you must choose.
Back here on Hoor this afternoon with Zach Heelan. Zach, a great one, that's one, and we definitely going to feature the other three on this show this afternoon. Tell me something. You said you more than 20 years now living in the States. You first went to England, you born South Africa and that. Tell us something about America, because I've never been to America. I've only been to America on YouTube. And the thing is, I believe it's the greatest country in the world.
It could be the greatest country in the world if you make it the greatest country in the world. You have to work very hard to become somebody there. You know, I mean, if you go there and you don't try your best, you'll never make it because there are so many people there. Yeah. So I arrived there in 2002, and I met my wife in California.
Yeah.
And eventually in 2003 we got married. So, and that is how I initially became an American citizen, which I carry an American passport now.
Mm-hmm.
So I became an American citizen, and we moved to Las Vegas because of my career. I wanted to sing and be a performer. And slowly I met agents and venues and people that were in the industry.
Yeah.
And I really pushed myself hard, and I managed to get onto television, onto a competition like American Idol.
I saw
which
that,
was called Give Me the Mic.
Yeah.
And I won the competition. And
wow.
That competition really opened doors up for me. And I started performing on the Strip, which is well known for where all the artists are performing.
Yeah, Vegas, what I mean, what a place, eh? Yeah, and you're talking, of course, of the so-called Sunset Strip.
The Strip, yes, the Las Vegas Strip.
Oh, the Las Vegas. Sunset Strip is where? In California.
In California.
In California. Sunset Strip, yeah, yeah, yeah. But like you say, if you are a hard worker, you really go out in full, you can become somebody or... Yeah, because many people say, you know, if you listen to some Americans, they always question whether the American dream is still alive.
It could be alive.
Yeah, maybe, you know, because sometimes you get the idea when you look at it, you think to yourself, yes, but aren't you a bit of a loser? What I mean, you're complaining like, but what have you really done? What have you really tried? You know, that type of thing. So, okay, so you are a professional muso. That is your job.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And it is a tough world out there, or that is what I assume, having been a music lover for all these years, having seen music move through various stages and genres, you know, means of recording, you know, from the vinyls, the four-track tapes, you know, the CDs, and then came the biggest killer of music, which I still regard as the MP3. They should actually declare it a virus. The MP3 came, and that basically, as far as I'm concerned, that is my very sort of modest opinion, that really killed the industry, especially for recording artists. What is your feeling on that?
Well, absolutely. I mean, things have changed. You cannot... The record companies are dead. There's no such thing anymore because of social media, you can basically do whatever you want. You can put your songs up on YouTube, and it's very difficult to make money by selling songs. It's very, very difficult. In fact, there is no money unless you're Ed Sheeran or... you know, people stream music nowadays.
Yes.
So they don't pay. They don't pay for it.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult to make money.
Yeah. If you look some real, I call them dinosaurs of the music industry. For instance, Kiss as a band, and Gene Simmons is very outspoken about when he's asked, when's Kiss recording their next album? He goes like, there's no way they're going to record an album. There's absolutely nothing in it for them, you know. And if you look at just before you went to America, if you look at a guy like David Gray, what I mean, when he brought out his fourth studio album, White Ladder, that album, if you go and read up on it, that was recorded in his lounge. What I mean, so the studio has actually gone for a pot of nothing.
Absolutely. All you need is a computer and a good microphone.
Yes.
That's all you need.
Absolutely. You know, so the thing is, the industry is so, and, you know, because I look sometimes at some of these producers, they call them producers, and they sit in the back of a SUV with a tablet, and they are recording a song. What I mean?
Yeah.
Or they're making, or they're producing a song or something. And it's normally these bling-bling guys, of course, but nevertheless. The thing is, so the industry. So it is a very, very tough. When was this? I think it was in 2017. I had an interview with Moritz Lotz. I believe you know him. He's a well-known South African guitarist, studio guitarist, appeared on many albums from the Kaleskis to some gospel albums or whatever. And I asked him, I said to him, and this reminds me what he said of where you are now, sitting in the Mediterranean on a luxury cruise liner. I asked Moritz, tell me something. That was my last question. Moritz is a very articulated guy, so the thing is, you could normally in an hour ask him about 10 questions. So the thing is, I asked him, I said to him, how do you see the future of the South African music industry compared to maybe like the UK or America or anywhere. And he said to me, you know, the future of music in South Africa is exactly the same like over there. But the one thing that many artists actually sort of, they sort of neglect it, is the live performance. You got to go out there and take your music to the people. People's not going to come to you. You can be the best recording artist. You can write the best songs. You could be the best guitar player or whatever your instrument, your favorite instrument is. But if you're not taking your music out to the people, you are not going to become famous. You know, those days or you're not going to be in a lucrative career, because the days of where, if you take, for instance, Toto, what I mean, Toto in the first 2 years were just a recording outfit. When they brought out, what was their most popular song? Something about a line.
Hold the line.
Hold the line. When they brought that out, nobody's ever seen them live. They didn't even know who Steve Beccaro were or anybody of those guys, what I mean.
Yes.
So they were, but those days, that was 1977, 76. Those days are over. Do you agree with that?
Well, absolutely, absolutely. Nowadays, musicians make their money not from their albums. They make their money from performances, from concerts.
Yes.
And I'm talking about the well-known artists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Keith Urban and all these well-known artists. They're making their money from live performances.
Yeah.
Because the music industry is dead.
Absolutely. And if it wasn't bad already in 2020, what I mean, then we had COVID, and it absolutely pushed it into a ditch, what I mean. And there's many guys now, even in South Africa, I know a lot of artists here. I'm residing at the moment in Port Elizabeth again, and so on. P's always had like a very, very much alive sort of, gig scene, you know. There were many bands and two duos and people playing. But it is very, very slow here at the moment. And it's picking up in Joburg, and Cape Town is also like here and there showing some pulse. But it's extremely hard, and my heart goes out to these artists, because some of them are coming like for 30, 40 years like yourself. And the thing is, some has recently started, maybe before COVID, and it's already, you know, going off into rigor mortis, you know, they're already half a corpse. So the thing is, and when you talk about recording, because I've always said, you know, the thing is, many, many artists, you can be a cover artist for as long as you like. Nothing wrong doing a cover, but you must have some original stuff. And that's why I'm always excited when I see guys like yourself pre-recording original music, what I mean, where your sort of stamp is on it. It's you, it's Zachy Lynn, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, I agree with you. What can I say? all I have to say is that you have to. I mean, us dinosaurs. You know, I call ourselves. I call me myself a dinosaur, and I'm sure you do. You do too. You know, we're having a very difficult time getting gigs today nowadays, because the new generation are coming in competing with that.
You know, if you look at some of the new music and that, I recently listened to the latest Top 20 coming from the States, what I mean, and I was kind of shocked to hear the quality of the songs and that. Some of them, if I actually sort of load them on top of each other, you know, I might be able to play them together. The thing is, because they're so close to each other, it is absolutely, you know, unreal. And we live in an era, the younger generation is a generation, I call them the instant generation. Everything's got to happen quickly. It's too much of a job to learn how to play a guitar, you know. It's easier to take a keypad with some software and, you know, compose some music.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Mm.
Which is why I decided to hire a big studio, a real studio with a real producer, Yeah. And I wanted to stick to my roots. That's why I came to South Africa to record.
Yes.
And I didn't want to do it like in a bedroom, somebody's garage or something like that.
In America, I know in the States, there's many great producers. What I mean, if you look at somebody like Joe Bonamassa, who still uses, he's been using Kevin Shirley for very, very long. And you know, the work they put out, I stand to be corrected, I think the last five Bonamassa albums were all sort of recorded at different studios, different locations. I think Different Shades of Blue was, by the way, recorded in Vegas, around about in the, I would say, about 2015. So he moves along. And, you know, it's amazing when you listen, because, you know, that's the other thing. How do people listen music today? Like you earlier on said, they're streaming it. How do they stream it? On what do they stream it? They stream it on a cell phone. You cannot evaluate the song. I've taken your songs when you send it to me. I wrote it on a CD. I put it on my hi-fi system in the lounge.
Yes, yes.
And I listen to it. Then I can really sort of, people always ask me, what do you think of my song? I say, well, I haven't had time to actually had a good listen to it. I quickly listen to it on the phone. I like the tune. I like some of the words maybe or whatever. But I can't give you an opinion. It's only when I listen it on some high fidelity that I can say to you, wow. What I mean, I listen to it, and that is why I like it. Dream is there. And you told us now that it was a Philharmonic Orchestra or part of it. What I mean, it's a bloody amazing recording. And hats off to the guy who recorded it. What did you say was his name?
Marius Brouwer.
I've heard the name somewhere, but I'm not 100% sure. But okay, before we go to the last part here of this interview, I want to play Olivia Newton-John. Can you tell us something about the song? Because she passed, I stand to be corrected, I think not last year, the year before last year, she passed.
Yes.
And have you ever met her? Have you ever sort of done some singing with her or anything? Why the song Olivia Newton-John?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'll send you videos and pictures to see. What happened was, I wrote a song called Olivia Newton-John because she was a very good friend of mine.
Oh.
And I wanted to dedicate this song to her and her career. And so I wrote the song and I went to her. I was introduced to her by her manager. His name is Mark Hartley.
Mm-hmm.
And he introduced me to Olivia. And well, I met her in Beverly Hills in California after one of her shows. And I said to her, listen, I wrote a song about you. And she said, okay, I'd love to hear it. So I played it for her, and she absolutely loved it. And we've become friends. And my public relation agent decided that we should do a music video and feature Olivia in the music video.
Okay.
So we discussed the music video, and what happened is she passed away, so the whole deal fell through.
Oh, geez, yeah, that's so sad, actually, you know, that just before you could put this to life, you know, yeah, a sudden passing. But she was apparently, according to stuff I read, in that she was struggling a very long time with cancer.
Yes, yes, she has, yeah.
But on that
note, she's really the sweetest person that you would have ever met, I promise you. She is so down to earth. You know, that she was really one of a kind.
Absolutely. She was originally Australian, I believe.
Yeah, she was born in England and she moved to Australia, I think, when she was 7 or 6.
Yeah.
6 or 7.
Okay. Yeah. 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 Anyway, let's take a break. Let's listen to this one by Zach Ellen. It's called Olivia Newton-John, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Well, I got a secret that nobody knows. My very first crush, I never let go. I had all the pictures and I posed on my walls, the girl from down under with her video, where she sang to me, let's get physical. That one
was the song that turned me into a man. When I hear "Please, Mr. Please," a man of art suddenly. Olivia Newton-John, I'm hopelessly devoted to you. We'll be two of a kind forever, my personal Xanadu. Olivia Newton-John, Travolta's got nothing on me. You're the one that I want forever, you're everything I need. Olivia Newton-John, Olivia Newton-John, Olivia Newton-John. Well, there's no better Sandy in the whole wide world, the perfect part for a perfect girl. The blue-eyed Aussie put the lightning into Greece. She sent to me a little more love, I honestly only had it all up. And no twist of fate, she can make a move on me. Yeah, like the song says, we go together, it just keeps getting devoted to you. We'll be two of a kind forever, my personal Xanadu. Olivia Newton-John, Travolta's got nothing on me. You're the one that I want forever, you're everything I need. I'm hopelessly devoted to you. We'll be two of a kind forever, my personal Xanadu. Olivia Newton-John, Travolta's got nothing on me. You're the one that I want forever, you're everything I need. Olivia Newton-John, I'm hopelessly devoted to you.
You tuned to Coastal Radio SA. My name is Jim Aton, talking to Zach Heelan this afternoon. Of course, Zach, we can't call him an expat anymore because he's got American citizenship. But I believe you still have a kind of a dear relationship with the country.
Well, absolutely. I've got family in South Africa, and I've got a daughter who lives in Pretoria. Mm-hmm. She lives in Wonderboom.
Yeah.
And so I've got family, and I come to South Africa nearly every year to visit. Yeah. So, you know, I love South Africa. All my friends are there, uh-huh. My great friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, look, it's changed a lot. It's changed from what I remember South Africa. It's not the same.
Let's say, for purposes of the conversation, it has evolved a lot. It sounds actually lovely when you put it like that. But tell me something, when you come to South Africa, is it like for long periods, like 2-3 weeks, or is it just like for a couple of days, or what? Have you done any gigs here, what I mean? Or when you come here, would you like to gig?
Yes, absolutely. Well, I have done about 6 years ago. I came and I did a charity concert in Sandton City.
Yeah.
For cancer. I did a charity concert, and that was a sold out event, and it was fun. It was really great being back home and performing to South Africans again. And it was really fun.
Yeah, that's great. So have you been here this year already, or you're only coming next year?
No, I was there in November. This past November, my daughter got married. Mm-hmm. And I was there for the wedding. So we came for about 10 days.
Yeah. So you got to become a grandfather soon, I believe.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah. Tell me something, Zach. You say you're staying in Vegas and that. Like I say, I've been to Vegas a couple of times on YouTube. It's in the middle of a desert, isn't it?
Yes, Vegas is in the middle of the desert. But, I mean, it's not what people think it is. It's a very, very big, big city. It's, yeah. It's got about 3 million residents. It's a very big city.
Wow.
And it's really become the entertainment capital of the world.
Yeah, definitely. And it's actually so, it's fascinating. If you, I've got a fascination with the mafia, believe it or not. I'm not Italian, I'm French, or from French origin.
Yes.
But I've had from a very early stage, maybe at the age of 10, I had a fascination with Bugsy Malone and with Capone and all these people and Dellinger and all of these guys. And it's amazing that Vegas was actually started by mafia money. Can you believe it?
Yes, it has. Absolutely. It has.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's grown into this entertainment hub of the world with 3 million residents. Can you believe it? What's crime like there? Is there a lot of crime or don't you really see it?
No. Yeah. Well, you know, you've got bad areas which you don't go into. It's just like South Africa, you know. You don't go into Hillbrow or places like that.
Not anymore.
You know.
Mm. So, but otherwise, you say it's you weren't sort of exchange or swap Vegas for Cape Town or anything like that.
No.
Definitely not. Yeah, but like you say, you've been there over what you're going for 2020. You say 2002, right? 22 years. It's a long time, and you've got the accent, what I mean. You sound American, and so on, what I mean. And you do what you love most there, music, and that kind of thing. So, what I mean, what more can you ask for?
Yes, absolutely. But you know, it wasn't easy adjusting to America. Coming from South Africa, you know, the American English language is very, very different to what we speak in South Africa. There's a lot of slang words which they use, which we don't understand. So I had to basically relearn English, American English, to be able to get along there.
Yeah, yeah. And then inevitably, of course, I believe so, you actually catch up on the accent, you know, and you also start rolling your words a little bit and all of that.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah, inevitably it will happen. What I mean, when you speak to Americans all the time, what I mean, it happens. You know, in South Africa, we still got a good lot of Afrikaans. And even with the Afrikaans, you know, the thing is, if you go to Namaqualand, for instance, in the Bushman land and that, the people there speak a different, I call it like a dialect of Afrikaans. And even the Transvaalers, you know, like the real Transvaalers, those that still left, you know, their Afrikaans, I sometimes also can't understand the way they pronounce words. In Cape Town, we say boom, was klim boom, you climb into a tree. They will say was klim in die boom, you know, they always like sort of almost like a Yankee roll to it, you know, so kind of thing.
So, yeah.
Any big plans for the future for Zach Gillen? Where does he still want to take his music career? Like a musical,
well,
maybe,
I said,
or something.
I'd like to finish an album. That's my big dream, is to finish a whole 10-song album. Mm. And my plans for next 6 months is to do this gig that I'm doing right now. And when I go back to Vegas, I'm going to be rehearsing for a Christmas show.
Okay.
Which is going to be taking part in December.
Yes.
So that's going to be very exciting.
I remember I watched, I stalked you a little bit on YouTube, and there's some stuff here. And the song, when we at Coastal Radio in the beginning still did the top 20, you had a song, Out of the Dark. And I think I will play out with this one this afternoon, because I've always loved this tune. What was the song really about?
Oh, Out of the Dark. Wow, that's the one that was produced by Kylie Minogue's producer, Ian Catt.
Okay.
Out of the Dark is about, what is it about? I even forgot what it was about. It's about coming out of the dark, you know. It's also like an inspirational kind of a song where somebody finds himself in a very, very bad place in his life, and they've made the decision to come out of the dark, you know, out, and look forward to life.
Yeah. It's like if I look at you, the lyric starts basically where you were living in a world of self-delusion. You gave everything you had inside of you. Maybe you're insane, but things seems right as you wait and watch your life.
Yes.
So it's almost like a watching. It's like a thing of maybe like in retrospect, I'm looking back and I'm thinking like, hey, I was in a dark place, man. I'm actually in a better place now, you know. So it's kind of, yeah, like you say, it's kind of like a sort of a motivational song, self-motivating song.
Yes, absolutely.
But speaking of the song, let's just quickly listen to that one, because this is one of the songs by Zach Ellen that I've always enjoyed immensely.
Fearing arise in
Yeah, man, I like this song by Zach Ellen. It's called Out of the Dark, a couple of years back this afternoon, right here on Hoor. But speaking of Christmas, you said you're gonna get involved in a Christmas show. You also did a song. You sent me this one, Christmas in July.
That's right. And that was co-written with a friend of mine. His name is Alan Roy Scott. Mm-hmm. And he wrote some music for Celine Dion.
Okay.
He wrote for Celine Dion, Roberta Flack, Pat Benatar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a very well-known songwriter. So he co-wrote that one with me.
Yeah, yeah. You've never met Pat Benatar.
No, I haven't met her. No.
Oh, I just wanted to say because, geez, I would like.
I met Sheena Easton. Sheena Easton is a good friend. I don't know if you remember her.
I remember her, but I remember Pat Benatar specifically. I wanted to meet her ever since 1975. You know, so I'm waiting almost like a good 50 years now, and it's never gonna, never gonna happen. So remember, Zach. If you ever meet Pat Benatar, you tell her she's got a big fan in South Africa who would like to do an interview with her.
I'll do that for sure.
I watched a while ago on YouTube, I watched the interview she did, and they show some of her old videos because she wore these tight-fitting pants. It was 1970s, what I mean. You couldn't expect anything different. But a hairstyle, she had like this short like hairstyle, like long in the neck, like, you know, and that. And she laughs her ass off at the way she looks. She says she can't believe it's her, that she doesn't even want to see that now.
Yeah.
But anyway, Zach, thanks a lot for your time and enjoy the rest of your cruise. There's still a couple of months left. And so on. In the meantime, we'll start playing these songs, and we're definitely going to do Dreamies there. I'm the sort of doing the content for Coastal Radio SA, so that one will definitely feature a lot. But we're also going to play the other ones. And from Coastal Radio, everybody at Coastal Radio SA, we want to wish you the absolute best of success. And stay in touch.
Thank you very much. I really, really am very, very glad that we did this interview. And I hope the listeners will enjoy the music. And I'm looking forward to coming on again.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And definitely one day when you complete that album by Zach Ellen, then, of course, we're going to do a special scoop on the whole album.
Absolutely.
Anyway, Zach, thanks once again for your time. I'm going to play out with this one. It's called Christmas in July. See you next Sunday. Ciao, ciao.
It's the middle of summer here in Vegas. 110 in the shade, but I'm chilling out. 'Cause I just married a goddess when she said I do, you know we did. I'm rolling all lucky sevens, hit the jackpot in the right spot. Like a big kid in a toy shop, it's Christmas in July. With an angel dressed up in white, she's a present sent from heaven above, she's all mine. Well, it's Christmas in July. Alright, everywhere I go I swear I see her hovers. May the late Tropicana and Perrier, and even Santa can lay low and be incognito for a while. He knows what happens in Vegas, stays in Vegas, hanging with the rich and famous, celebrating like Christmas in July. Angels by my eyes.
for you and me. Ooh. It's Christmas in July. Oh, Vegas in the desert. There's angels by my sent from heaven above, she's all mine. Merry Christmas in the day.